Fun show for you today on Tuesday, June 19th. What's going on, everybody? Kreeth is out of town. Those two jokesters are at some conference somewhere in the middle of the country. Scott White and I are keeping it coastal here on the East Coast. And we are coming at you with an edition of Fantasy Baseball Today that will have some fantasy regulating later on. Scott White, question for you to start the show. Are you now ready to admit, given what's happened over the last few days, that Trevor Bauer is the second best Cleveland starting pitcher?
He is not the Cleveland starting pitcher I rank the second highest, no.
Oh,
I have
are
him
you
in
ready?
My top 20.
Are you ready to move him up ahead of Carrasco?
No.
Come on,
no.
He's on the DL.
Carrasco's really good. He's not on the DL for long. He'll be fine.
All right. You know who's really good?
Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer's really good. Really good.
He is really good.
Yeah. All right.
But, yeah, I mean, Carrasco's done it for a full season for like four straight seasons, and I don't see any too much reason to be discouraged about what's done this year. So I maintain Carrasco over Bauer.
All righty. So Bauer, I wish he wouldn't do so well. I'm trying to trade for him, actually, in a league in which I have Chris Sale. I'm going to try to give up Sale and get Bauer and something else in return. But now it's going to get hard because Bauer is the number eight starting pitcher in fantasy. And we, in fact, had three of the top eight starting pitchers go yesterday in fantasy. Gerrit Cole, Jacob deGrom. Colorado was no match. Coors Field was no match for him. And of course, Trevor Bauer. We also had Zach Greinke, we'll talk about. Miles Michaelis did not have a great start, but we gotta start with the big news. And that is, there is no closer to pick up in the Kansas City bullpen. Scott and I discovered yesterday, but Kelvin Herrera is a National, and they have confirmed Sean Doolittle. In fact, they told him in the middle of the game, you are still the closer. So don't worry, Sean Doolittle owners, although it's never good to have tough competition in case he struggles, but Doolittle's going to be the closer. Kelvin Herrera is droppable, I assume, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be bad to have him in deeper leagues where saves are scarce. It wouldn't be bad if you're the Doolittle owner to keep Herrera on hand. Herrera was having a good season, of course, 105 ERA, .82 with the Royals, but it's nothing compared to the season Sean Doolittle's having, 147 ERA, .55 whip, 12.6 strikeouts per nine innings for Doolittle. Herrera's strikeout rate's actually pretty low, so his ERA doesn't seem sustainable, but with 43 strikeouts to three walks this year, Sean Doolittle has a 1.62 FIP, which you hardly ever see a FIP that low. Usually, if an ERA is, you know, in the ones like that, it's hard to do that legitimately, you know, in a way that the peripherals back up. But Sean Doolittle is.
Yep, he is awesome, and Doolittle's got that job on lock. And so really, there was nobody, because I called Scott when I heard the news, because I was watching the Nationals game and the news came in, and I said, Scott, that Kelvin Herrera is about to get traded to the Nationals. We're in that 16-team league. We only have one true closer, who, by the way, didn't get the save last night, Brad Boxberger, probably unavailable. And let's pick up somebody on the Royals. And we kind of looked at the bullpen, and we said, it's okay. We'll pass.
They're like, it's a terrible bullpen. It's one of the worst. It's probably the worst bullpen in baseball now that Herrera's not there. And there's just there's nobody who stands out to the point that I think it'll probably be a committee, and a really bad one at that, because the Royals aren't winning many games. So, yeah, we decided to pick up nobody in that 16-team league. Like, Kevin McCarthy's a right-hander, so that might give him the leg up, but he's not good. His K per nine is like 5.3 or something like that.
So is that the one name you'd throw out there for
5.6? I mean, Tim Hill has a good strikeout rate and a good FIP, not a good ERA. But he's a left-hander who's been used, you know, for one to get one out here, two out there. Brandon Mauer has some close experience, but he's been terrible.
Okay, so it's not very exciting. And now you got to start thinking about who's next, because this is what happens with closers on bad teams. And we're in this era of super teams and super bad teams. You look at the Astros, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Indians are certainly have certainly come around. I mean, these teams are on an incredible pace. The Astros have now won 12 games in a row. You know, I don't know the records off the top of my head in the National League, but I know obviously the Nationals aren't even in first place. The Dodgers have been disappointing. The Brewers, I believe, have the best record. I don't know if they have a super team right now in the NL, but it is sort of a, you know, a different closer landscape. You got to worry about guys getting traded off of these bad teams because teams are just in rebuild mode. So yeah, who do you think is that? I mean, we saw Kelvin Herrera coming. I think everybody did, and we said this. You know, you got to be careful if you're the Kelvin Herrera owner. You're going to lose your closer. I don't know who's next. I mean, I am worried about Keone Kella for a few reasons. I actually don't think he's going to get traded, but he's gotten a lot of saves and he hasn't blown one. He's been pretty good for the price tag for sure. Considering we didn't even know he was the closer when we were drafting, you know, Keone Kella. And I don't think they're necessarily going to trade him, but I do think they're going to trade Hamels, and I do think they're going to trade anything they've got and become a pretty bad team at some point. So that's going to hurt him. Are there any names that jump out at you guys that are going to get moved?
Specifically ones who could get traded.
Yeah.
I mean, Joaquin Soria is a good candidate. Not that we've been particularly reliant on him so far this year. I would think, depending on how the Mets season goes, J. Reese Familia is in play for that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There was actually a report that they're about to be sellers.
Yeah. If he turns things around himself. Raisel Iglesias has been brought up as a trade possibility both this offseason and I believe around the deadline last year. Let's see here.
Brad Hand? I'd
be surprised if Brad Hand got traded because they just signed him to a long-term deal. And while you could argue that gives him more trade value.
Yeah.
I'd just be surprised.
All right. And I think Vasquez, too. For
maybe. He got a long-term deal,
too. Both of them
too.
Got signed. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling it out that either of them gets traded.
Yeah.
All right. So keep an eye on it. Could happen. If Hector Neris got sent to the minors, Sir Anthony Dominguez was unavailable yesterday, so they turned to Victor Arano, who actually struck out three batters in two-thirds of an inning, but blew the save. Actually, don't quite think it was a blown save. But he gave up two runs. Now, I think he had a strikeout that should have ended the game. It got by the catcher, and the inning was extended. But anyway, Dominguez, as Scott said, is the best guy to own in the Phillies bullpen. He was unavailable yesterday. I'm trying to look up. I don't know if you can do this, but there's a team in our podcast league. I'm having an issue with my crappy computer, as always. A team in our podcast league, Scott, drafted Kimbrel and Chapman, I think. And okay. I want to know if you can look up how they're doing, because it is a pretty interesting strategy now with such an elite tier at the top of closers.
Kimbrel and Jansen. Who they trapped. Right. Super drafted, yeah. They're 8-3. They're having a good year.
Yeah.
They also have Scherzer.
That helps.
And they have Jose Ramirez.
You know, those are early picks.
Jose Ramirez is actually their only standout hitter, really. Their second best hitter is K-Riss Davis. Third is probably Xander Bogaerts. And then after that, again, we're talking a league where there's only 9 hitter spots to fill. So, you know, every hitter spot is more consequential. So it goes Ramirez, K-Riss Davis, Xander Bogaerts, and then probably Corey Dickerson, Max Muncy. Like,
wow.
That's what the lineup looks like. And they're 8-3.
How many points?
Not a great pitching staff either.
Have they scored a lot of points, or are they just getting lucky? Because they have the number 3 and number 8 closers or RPs in points leagues in Kimbrel and Kenley Jansen. Jansen's obviously got off to that terrible start, and he's been much better since.
They have scored the third most points.
Wow.
There is kind of a clutter around them. Like, the guy who scored the most is a distant first, and then second is kind of a distant second. And then there's like a cluster of four teams that are next, and this team is among those four teams.
And how is
he scored between the third most points and the sixth most points.
How is Breakfast of Champions doing in the league?
Breakfast of Champions is first place overall. That's the one with the most points and the best record.
They have Edwin Diaz and Wade Davis. Edwin Diaz and Wade Davis. They have two top 10 closers. So the two
Wade Davis slipped a lot recently.
Yeah.
But Edwin Diaz has been, as we talked about yesterday, he scored a ton of points.
The two teams in our podcast points league, which starts two RP spots, you know, you can start a RP eligible starting pitcher there. The two teams that have two top 10 closers are first and third overall right now. Pretty interesting. All right, more news. Yeah. Clayton Kershaw could return this weekend. Carlos Carrasco has no structural damage. He also doesn't have Trevor Bauer strikeouts or innings. Elvis Andrews returned. So this was kind of interesting. Andrews is back. He batted second. He went 0-for-3. He scored a run. He walked twice. Elvis Andrews only played 15 games. He has 10 walks to two strikeouts. I had completely forgotten about his plate discipline because he'd been gone for, you know, 2 months or almost 2 months. This is a guy who usually walks 50 times in a full season, has 10 walks in 15 games. Shinsu Chu led off, and he continues to hit pretty well. Jurickson Profar batted fifth and played second. Rougned Odor sat, and Delino DeShields batted ninth, and he went 2-for-4 with an RBI and a strikeout. So Andrew's back. It's as of in one game, it's bad news for Odor. It's bad news for DeShields. It's worse news for Odor since he sat, but we'll monitor that situation. Juan Soto is so good, he homered before he was even in the big leagues. He hit a home run yesterday in the resumption of the suspended game, which officially happened before he was called up.
And the internet exploded.
Yeah, sure did. And yeah. Just so you know, the stats do not count. They are out of the time frame for a stat correction, so they don't count. They might count in season-long roto. I am checking on that. I hope to hear back on that before the end of the podcast. I will let you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I wish I feel like I probably should know, but I don't. The only way I could see them counting is the stats would count from whatever people you had, whatever of those players in that game you had in your lineup from, you know, May 15th. Because, you know, in head-to-head leagues, obviously, if you go back and change the scores from May 15, whatever week that is, week 7, I think, that would, like, change records, potentially, and that's not a good idea. But right. In roto leagues, it wouldn't. So it might. I'm not sure. But that's all. And so probably Juan Soto's home run's not going to count because you probably didn't have him in your lineup back then.
Shohei Ohtani is going to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. The Angels are optimistic right now. Boo! Brian McCann has started 4 of the last 5 games for Houston. We want Max Stassi in there. Hooray! Tom Murphy started again for Colorado. We want Tom Murphy in there. We saw on Twitter, I'm not sure this is true, but it might be true. Mike Trout has not gone more than 2 straight games without reaching base since 2012. Do you think that's true?
Well, he linked to the
Reddit, right? It was a
play index on Baseball Reference.
Oh, okay.
That seemed to indicate this.
That's amazing.
So yeah, that's his whole career. No more than 2 straight games without reaching base. That's unbelievable.
Is it his whole career? Or is it after his like failed rookie audition? I think it was since he became a regular in 2012. It might have been his whole career. That's amazing. No more than 2 straight games without reaching base for Mike Trout. Also
let me look
amazing.
At 2011.
The Mets scored 12 runs yesterday. That's more than they scored in the previous 8 Jacob deGrom starts combined. They are ready to sell, and the Yankees and the Mariners are interested in adding Jay Happ, and I am interested in adding Kevin Kiermaier in a 5 outfielder roto league. In fact, I did add him, put him on my DL, and he is scheduled to return today. So that was nice. I drafted him, got nothing. I dropped him, and I was able to pick him up when he went last week. So I'm the best. Now let's go to some emails. I want to hear from the
Looks
people
like
today.
2012, like you said. Not his whole career, but
okay.
Since his first full season, his rookie season.
Mike Trout. Email of the day number 1 is from James. Subject is worryometer on Charlie Blackmon. No steals and 1 home run over the past month. Scott, what's your worryometer on Blackmon, who is the 13th best outfielder in points, 10th in roto so far this year?
My worryometer is like a 0. Like, is he going to be as good as last year? Probably not, but it was fair to assume that anyway, considering it was a career best season. I mean, you just said it. He's still a top 10 outfielder in both formats. I dropped him below JD Martinez. I dropped him and Bryce Harper both below JD Martinez, but that still puts them, I think, fourth and fifth in my outfield rankings. Fifth and sixth, something like that.
Okay.
I'm not worried at all.
Blackman has struggled at home. That's why I'm not worried. He has two home runs at home. And he still has played 11 more road games than home games. But it's just not going to stay that way. He's going to hit at home. Last 33 games, Blackman has a 696 OPS. Nothing super alarming, though. And he has scored 22 runs in those 33 games. So that kind of saves him. Email of the day number two is from Ryan. Are there any prospects who could come up that have a chance to steal some bases, kind of like Trey Turner in 2016? Any prospects that could steal bases? And I'll just say Heath mentioned him yesterday, but Adalberto Mondesi for the Royals could help you with that. Scott, any prospects that could give you some steals?
If Kyle Tucker gets called up for the Astros outfields, you know, he could potentially be like a 20 steal guy. If you're looking for like a big number of steals, obviously those players are not so common in today's game. That's what kind of made Trey Turner so special. But another outfielder in the Astros organization has been doing interesting things in the minors. Miles Straw is his name. Like, I drink through a straw. Miles Straw. He has What was that?
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Well, it could sound like Strom or whatever, but it's Straw.
Straw.
And between AA and AAA this year, he has 39 steals in 45 attempts. And the most interesting part is he reaches base at a 417 clip. For his entire minor league career, he's reached base at a 404 clip. So he has no power, which... you don't expect that kind of player to find a regular spot in today's game. But the Astros have been fill left field, and he gets on base a lot. So that, I think, gives him a chance. Though, obviously, he's not the caliber of prospect Kyle Tucker is, and so maybe he never gets his chance.
All right, let's go to the standouts. We read email of the day number three at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Also, we've got Grade the Trade coming up. You'll find out what song I'm using today for Grade the Trade. We got regulators. We got a lot of your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. But Monday standout, Nate in Philly says, Dear Uncle Adam and friends, Nick Pivetta, 13 Ks, that is all. My goodness. Pivetta is 82% owned. His three starts before yesterday, he gave up 13 runs in 14 innings. Yesterday, he struck out 13 Cardinals, did give up two solo homers in 7 1/3, 21 swinging strikes. Boy, this guy is a roller coaster, Nick Pivetta.
Yeah, but that three-start stretch, I understand the ERA is close to 9 during that, but how many pitchers have we seen, like, when it goes wrong, it's like 7 earned runs in 2 2/3 innings? You know, it wasn't like this disastrous stretch that raised red flags and made us stop trusting him. I think with this start, he's moved into my top 50 starting pitchers.
Oh, and top 50? That's totally fair. I just wonder if he's going to be consistent. He and Velasquez are similar. I mean, they've got good stuff. They give you spurts.
I think Nick Pivetta is definitely better.
Oh,
I do too. It's a better secondary pitch, a better breaking ball. And those generally rack up the swings and misses more. I would, like, first of all, the base numbers as they are for Pivetta, it'd be better if he had, he's 4-6, so that kind of skews things a bit. He could easily have a better win-loss record than that. But 4.08 ERA, 1.19 whip, 10.7 Ks per nine, that's good enough on its own. He has a 3.14 FIP. So the strikeout to walk ratio specifically, the fact he's not only getting these strikeouts, but he's not walking many hitters, bodes well, obviously. I think he's must own. I think he's a little less than must start, but there's no shame in starting him in a one-start week.
Nick Pivetta or John Gray?
Pivetta.
Nick Pivetta or Jake Arrieta?
Arrieta. Although Pivetta, I think, has more upside at this stage of his career.
Who else stood out to you on Monday?
Matt Carpenter.
No, not yet. We're going to get to him. Nope, Nope. You can't steal from my segments.
Talk about him yet?
No, we have a crazy Cardinals or a confusing Cardinals segment.
All right. How about Brandon Nimmo?
Brandon Nimmo! Two home runs, one of them inside the park. He was at Coors Field. I see a lot of good things, but I got to mention the strikeouts again. He had two strikeouts yesterday. In June, he has 5 walks, 24 strikeouts. Ordinarily, we wouldn't, we'd be a little wary of a guy like that. So just wondering where you're at on Brandon Nimmo.
I think it's reasonable to question whether or not he's going to be much help in batting average. But he is such a good on-base guy that I don't know that it matters so much for his overall relevance in fantasy. There's enough power there. He's going to score a high number of runs, batting high in the Mets order, and getting on base that often. And I think he's really good. One stat I saw somebody tweet out yesterday that kind of puts it in perspective. This is from Anthony DeComo of MLB.com. There are 5 players in MLB with at least 12 home runs and an OPS over 1,000 this year. They are Mike Trout, JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Brandon Nimmo.
So he's like a top 5 player for you.
No, but he's must-own.
Would you rather have Nimmo or Schwarber?
Nimmo.
Would you rather have Nimmo or Corey Dickerson? That's so easy, right?
It's Nimmo.
Yeah, it's got to be Nimmo.
Yeah.
Nimmo or Brett Gardner?
Nimmo.
All right. Tweet of the day comes from Matthew Fox. I think you guys missed a weekend standout. Michael Conforto. He has made an adjustment, and he did he homer yesterday? He had a good game. I don't think he homered. But it was in Coors Field. But last 6 games...
3 hits, 2 doubles, a stolen base.
Conforto 7 for 20 with 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. 4 of them came in one game. Conforto is 71% owned. He has 6 walks to 1 strikeout in his last 6 games. And thank you, Matthew, for sending us the article about the adjustment he made. He was swinging too early, apparently, so he's changing his swing. Would you rather have Michael Conforto or Brandon Nimmo?
I'd rather have Nimmo, but... That's interesting for Conforto.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear now once Cespedes comes back, which by the way, he has no timetable, so it's not like we're on the verge of that happening. But if it happened today, gotta think Jay Bruce would be the odd man out.
I think he's gonna go on the DL. They had said it's a possibility for Bruce. He's sat like 4 of the last 6 games or something like that, and I don't know if he's gonna go on the DL because Cespedes isn't quite ready yet. Actually, like you said, there's no timetable. Cespedes is having a very slow recovery. But yeah, I don't know that Bruce has maybe put him at first or something, but
yeah, I mean he's got that plantar fasciitis. You gotta think that's impacting his performance. Because he's usually so consistent from year to year, not necessarily week to week, but year to year.
Yeah, yeah.
Numbers are always there.
Well, I'll tell you what's also consistent. SeatGeek is extremely consistent. Anytime you want to go to a game or a concert or comedy or theater, Foo Fighters are on tour. That's all I'm saying. Please use the SeatGeek app, and we have 2 awesome promo codes for you. In fact, I got an email from John yesterday, and John said, what are the SeatGeek codes? And he said the one for $10, because John has already, I'm assuming, used the code FANTASY, which gets you $20 off your first purchase. So I told him the code is TODAY. So he emailed me back, and he said, nailed it. So cheap, it seems unfair. And he sent me his order summary. He got 2 tickets to the Blue Jays-Angels game, and he paid a total of $11. So that's with the discount code of TODAY. So this is great. I mean, SeatGeek finds you amazing deals. They search multiple websites for you. They do the work. They give you a score for every ticket, so you know if you're getting a good value and you know what fits your budget. So go to SeatGeek.com, or better yet, download the app, put it on your phone. You can get the tickets right on your phone, and the codes are FANTASY for $20 off, or TODAY for $10 off your first purchase. Either use the code FANTASY, oh no, I'm sorry, excuse me, FANTASY off your first purchase, $20 off your first purchase. TODAY gets you $10 off baseball tickets. You got 2 options there on SeatGeek. All right, Scott, you ready for today's school-themed song?
Let's do it.
All right. Got Zach Morris and AC Slater here to grade your trades. Well, let's hear the chorus. All right, cool. Let's do part one. This is from Kevin in Santa Rosa. Dear Dwayne, John, Mike, and Dave. No idea. 10-team head-to-head categories. Keeper League. Give up Noah Syndergaard. Get Aaron Nola and Mitch Haniger. In a keeper league, give up Syndergaard, get Nola and Haniger.
That's a pretty good return. I mean, you know, I got to be honest. I was thinking about this just last night. I own Syndergaard in a dynasty league. He's not, like, his keeper cost isn't quite face value that yet, but, you know, I've owned him for a few years that it's getting up there.
Okay.
I've considered making a deal like this just because I'm so tired of Syndergaard missing these stretches of the season.
It's pretty annoying. It's pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Especially this and one. If he's, he was supposed to be back like 2 weeks ago to face the Yankees.
Like, if you're keeping him on equal terms with Nola, there's no keeper cost applied. I mean, obviously that makes it a little closer. But I actually do think I prefer the Nola Haniger side. I'll give it a B-.
Okay. B- for that trade. And Dwayne, John, Mike, and Dave appear to be San Francisco Giants broadcasters. This is Brando from South Dakota. Dear Eddie, Robbie, Max, and Ryan. I know them. Eddie, Robbie, Max, and Ryan, Scott?
Are those twins?
Twinkies.
Outfielders?
Yeah. 10-team mixed league, 6 keepers. Give up Bumgarner. Get Clevinger and Alex Wood. Give up Bumgarner, get Clevinger and Alex Wood.
I don't think it's quite enough. I feel like the other guy bought low on Bumgarner here. Not terrible, but it's C- verging on a D+.
That's how I feel about it.
Toilet flushing sound effect.
All right, from Brandon. 7x7 categories league with innings and quality starts and OBP and extra base hits. Give up Gene Segura and Ozzy Albies. I have Daniel Murphy at second base. Give up Segura and Albies. Get Trey Turner and Bumgarner. Segura and Albies for Turner and Bumgarner. This is a good one.
Yeah, I mean, Turner's the best player.
Bumgarner might be the second best player.
Okay. It's pretty close.
This is an A-. And,
yeah, I mean, Segura and Albies are both top 50 players. I'll give it a
B+.
Yeah, C- sounds good.
No, what did you say?
Sorry. Yeah, he won this trade.
He won.
So, B.
Okay, all right. We'll just settle on a B. That's fine. This is from Jay from Brooklyn. Dear Will, Kevin, Matt, and Robbie. I feel like I should know that. Will, Kevin, Matt, and Robbie.
There have been notable Giants with those names. Will Clark, Kevin Mitchell, Matt Williams, and Robbie Thompson. I guess they all played together.
I think this might be Devil Rays. I don't know.
You think?
I don't think that at all. I don't. Grade the trade. 12-team keeper league head-to-head categories. All right, it's a big one here. Give up. Oh, these are two different trades. Sorry. All right, trade number one. Give up Josh Donaldson and Kyle Schwarber. Get Alex Bregman. Donaldson and Schwarber for Bregman.
That is good. I like that. That is a B+.
Second trade. Give up Rizzo and Suarez. Rizzo and Eugenio Suarez. Get Paul Goldschmidt.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Goldschmidt and Rizzo aren't that far apart. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I had Rizzo ahead of Goldschmidt. I give that a... That's like a D.
I still think you should have Rizzo ahead of Goldschmidt.
Nah, I changed it.
Because Goldschmidt is still not running and still has a bad home park. So why is he better than Rizzo? They're both gonna hit like the same. Rizzo's probably gonna hit a few more home runs.
Now I understand Rizzo is the one who needs to make up ground and probably will.
And
Goldschmidt has been the number two second baseman in fantasy now behind Freeman. Or at least he has in points. It may be different in categories, but I can't imagine it that different.
I think people I don't know realize, but Rizzo has more or less bounced back. I mean, he might be kind of cold recently, but I'll just give you what he's done since May 1st. I will click on that. I will scroll down, and then I will click on that. And this is how you do it on Baseball Reference, by the way. Go to Baseball Reference, go to a player's game log, and you can get his stats for any period. Since May 1st, 41 games, Anthony Rizzo has a 940 OPS. He's batted 293 with 10 home runs, 24 walks to 19 strikeouts.
The problem is he hasn't had that, like, correction where he overperforms to make up for bad production earlier, that thing that often happens but we're not supposed to believe in.
Well, he did have his, from May 1st to May 12th, Rizzo hit 5 home runs. He had a 1170 OPS. So let's see this. After that hot streak, has Rizzo cooled off? May 13th to June 17th, 862 OPS. Still pretty good. Yeah, Scott, I don't understand that stupid argument. I mean, Chris, I hope you're listening out there. You often listen when you're not on the show. But this is what happens. I mean, we know guys go through hot stretches and cold stretches. That's all. That's really all my argument is. Is that
I was trying to be more subtle than this, Adam. I really did not want to open that can of worms.
Players accumulate stats in that sort of way. They go through ups. They go through downs. That's all I'm saying, baby. That's all I'm saying. All right, thank you for grading trades. And, Scott, I'll give you one more trade to grade. It is my trade. I traded in a 12-team head-to-head categories league Mitch Haniger for Josh Donaldson. The Twitter folks did not like it. Give me a grade. I gave up Haniger. I got Donaldson.
I would have to see if my latest trade chart confirms this, but I don't like it at first glance either. I would give it a – I mean, it's only like a C-, but I'd rather have Haniger, I think.
Okay. This is another guy, Mitch Haniger, since May 1st. Hasn't really been that good. I'm not sure if we're aware of that. Are you aware of that?
He's been better recently, right?
Yeah.
He had a rough stretch at the start of May. Like, I think May as a whole was pretty bad, but I think June's gone.
Yeah, June's pretty good. Since May 1st, Mitch Haniger has a 739 OPS, and we've graded your trades. No, I'm in a mess. All right. That's a great theme song, really is. Javier Baez sat. He's day-to-day. Cole Calhoun is back. Jay Bruce sat with a hip issue, could go on the DL. Chris Bryant hit leadoff. Daniel Murphy did not start, but Murphy pinch hit. He had a double later in the game. Anthony Rendon has gone 17 straight games without a home run. I plan on talking about Rendon tomorrow. Roberto Ozuna's leave of absence has been extended through June 25th. Safe to drop Roberto Ozuna, Scott?
In all but deep leagues where there are just no saves on the waiver wire, yeah.
Travis Shaw sat with a sore wrist. The Dodgers and Cubs got rained out. They'll play a doubleheader today. Brett Gardner expected to avoid the DL. Martin Prado could return before the All-Star break. Chris Archer is going to need some rehab starts before returning. Avi Garcia is making progress, and Bradley Zimmer will have an MRI on his shoulder. Let's take a look at the bullpen. Archie Bradley got the save yesterday. He went an inning and a third, which was tied for his longest appearance since April 2nd. Are we just thinking that Boxberger was not available after struggling on Sunday?
I think so. I am a little concerned about his job security because Bradley and the guy whose name I can never remember, Hirano.
I might have gotten his first name wrong, but Hirano.
Yeah, you did. There's more syllables there than that. But yeah, they've both been better than Boxberger this year. Yoshihisa Hirano.
Okay. I sort of got it right. Sorry about that. Hunter Strickland blew a save. Is that a situation you're monitoring? Giants.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I expect Melanson to overtake Strickland at some point because I don't think Strickland has really been closer caliber. Although he has a good ERA, the numbers don't support it.
I don't know that I expect Melanson to. I don't know that I expect Melanson to be that good.
No, I can understand that.
But
he's
Norris,
been fine so far, though, right?
I think he got roughed up in his last appearance, but I think overall, yeah, he's been fine, Melanson. Bud Norris came in a tie game in the ninth inning on the road, which is not what you usually save your closer for. I don't know if he was facing the heart of the order, but he threw a scoreless inning, and then Matt Bowman blew the save in the 10th. And Sergio Romo was used as the closer again, but he blew it at the Astros, who have now won 12 in a row. And Jonathan Holder is unowned. He's probably owned in some leagues, but not enough to even register 1% ownership. Jonathan Holder is a Yankees middle reliever. Yeah, I don't know how enthused I'd be, but he has thrown 22 scoreless innings since being recalled. He had like two or three bad appearances to start the year. He got sent to AAA. He came back shortly thereafter. And Jonathan Holder has thrown 22 innings with 9 hits. And they're not scoreless. 3 runs, all of them unearned. 3 walks, 21 strikeouts for Holder. Okay, Scott, let's talk about the Cardinals. Let's talk about the Diamondbacks and a little bit more from yesterday. Let's also talk about newsletters. You want a fast, easy way to get some awesome, you know, fantasy advice and info right in your inbox. Please get the Fantasy Baseball Today newsletter. You'll get an edge on your competition. And got Scott and Heath's latest advice on players to add. It's going to have a link to our podcast. It's easy to subscribe. It's free. CBSSports.com/FBTDaily. CBSSports.com/FBTDaily. You know, one of those nice little ways to wake up in the morning. I'm actually not quite sure when it comes off the top of my head, but CBSSports.com/FBTDaily. You get a little daily dose. All right. Good stuff. How about those confusing Cardinals? Matt Carpenter. Last 30 games, he's the number 3 first baseman in points, number 7 in Roto. He is hitting .323 with 8 homers. On the year, he's the 23rd best first baseman, 32nd best in Roto, 23rd in points. Been a little bit better at second base. But on the year, he's batting .235. Actually, you look at the slash line, Scott, and pretty similar this year to last year. But it's been a tale of two seasons for Matt Carpenter. First 35 games, dreadful. Last 30 games, amazing. He is a confusing Cardinal.
He is. I'm hoping this is the correction that's been more than a year in the making with the quality of contact in terms of, like, ideal fly ball percentage for a power hitter, but also a really good line drive percentage. His BABIP is now up to where it was last year, which is only like .275. Still room for more correction. And hopefully that's what's happening here, because we've been saying for a while now he should be much better than he's been.
Would you rather have Matt Carpenter or Scooter Gennett?
Scooter.
Okay. Daniel Murphy or Matt Carpenter?
I'm going to say Daniel Murphy.
Okay.
Though I obviously say it with hesitation. If you did not pick up on the hesitation.
I did pick up on it, and I don't blame you, because he did not start yesterday. And they're easing him in, but he's still not running 100%. Okay, how about Marcell Ozuna? He is a confusing Cardinal. He went 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts. Did you know Marcell Ozuna in late May to early to mid-June had a stretch of 13 games with only 1 strikeout? Now, yesterday was bad, but yeah, I know, right? But Ozuna's been pretty good the last 28 days. Top 10 outfielder, batting .386 with 7 home runs. So, just want to point something out about this hot stretch for Ozuna. .386, 7 home runs in his last 28 days, top 10 outfielder, like I said. Only 12 runs scored. That is incredibly low. But also, only 1 double. So, you know, it's kind of BABIP-y. Good home run total. I don't know. Confusing Cardinal, Marcell Ozuna.
That stretch may be BABIP. He's batting .288 on the year, which is obviously good batting average.
Yeah.
.323 BABIP. So it doesn't seem like for the year he's had good BABIP luck or anything. The strikeout rate is down, like you said. It's just the power is so far off from last year. And it's beginning to correct, but I don't know. I don't know. Like, I think it's fair to wonder if he's going to be who he was last year. But at the same time, hopefully you didn't sell low on him because things seem to be getting better.
Would it be crazy to take Brandon Nimmo over Marcell Ozuna?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I guess not crazy. I don't rank them particularly close, but after the top 18 to 20 outfielders, things get pretty jumbled.
You have Ozuna 21, you have Haniger 22, and Brantley 23. Now let's talk about those diabolical Diamondbacks. I don't know why I use that word. They're just started with a D. Ketel Marte. Yeah, look, I saw him on the, right, so if you recall from yesterday, I saw him on the most added list. Couldn't really understand why. Heath mentioned that Chris had written something about Marte, maybe lifting the ball a little bit more. I noticed that he had been doing well lately. And I picked him up and started him in a 14-team league, and he homered. So now in his last 20 games, Ketel Marte, who in his career has an OPS under 700, 13 homers in 318 games, last 20 games, he's batting .344 with 4 homers, 7 doubles, and 3 triples, 5 walks, 8 strikeouts. He has been really good against lefties this year. But that hasn't, you know, only 6 left-handed starting pitchers in those 20 games, in which he's been great. Yeah, are you buying Ketel Marte, and are you buying Daniel Descalso, Marte is 50% owned. Descalso is 41% owned. Those Diabolical Diamondbacks have been pretty good.
Yeah, Descalso has been, for both the last 2 years, he's been surprisingly productive, especially since he doesn't have a job to himself, you know?
Yeah.
One of the players who's at bats he's cutting into, actually, is Marte. So I don't think either is, in standard mixed league, somebody I'm looking to pick up. But I think they're both usable if you get in a deep enough format where obviously you have to look beyond the true full-timers.
Right. Okay, so Marte or Zach Cozart. I know he's on the DL, so that's kind of stupid. Never mind. Any shortstops that come to mind that you might move Marte ahead of? This is a harder exercise for me than it should be, just thinking of people's names at a certain position.
Nobody who I think would shock anybody.
All right, how about this? Marte or Profar?
Profar. I'm actually becoming a Profar guy after dismissing him for much of the season. Okay. He's been surprisingly productive, as we talked about all along. Now he's up to, at least in points leagues, he's top 10 at second base.
In your rankings or overall?
In actual production.
Ah.
He's outside the top 12 at shortstop, but not by much. He's outscored Chris Taylor. He's outscored Asdrubal Cabrera now. He's been productive. And you look at the numbers, and he's still batting .239. He's not on a great home run pace, but he doesn't strike out very much, first of all. And he gets a lot of extra base hits apart from home runs. I think those the things he does wrong are more likely to improve than the things he does right getting worse.
Okay.
Because he has only a .248 BABIP, which explains a lot why the batting average is so low.
Would you drop Asdrubal Cabrera or Chris Taylor for Jurickson Profar?
I drop Asdrubal Cabrera for him, yes. I am ahead of Asdrubal Cabrera now.
Okay.
In my rankings.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the rotation yesterday. Rank these five pitchers. Jacob deGrom, Zach Greinke, Garrett Cole, Trevor Bauer, Miles Michaelis. Jacob deGrom, Zach Greinke, Garrett Cole, Trevor Bauer, Miles Michaelis.
I was taking a long look at Cole yesterday because he's been fifth in my rankings for a while now. Or is it fourth? Yeah, it's fifth because Verlander's ahead of him. But he has not been the same for a couple months now.
What?
His last seven straight starts, eight strikeouts or fewer, which is still that would be fine for most pitchers. But when you're talking about top five, and I actually do have ahead of Verlander still, he's fourth for me. We're talking about top five. I mean, that's not the guy who is striking out double digits routinely in the early going.
Well, not everybody's Trevor Bauer, Scott.
That's
52
true.
Strikeouts over 44 innings. Now, he does have a .409 ERA in that stretch. The last two starts have been a little rough.
Five walks in this most recent start.
Yeah, yeah. This strikes me
as
the ebbs and flows of a season.
The adjustment he made since joining the Astros with pitch selection, if the league's kind of caught up to it a little. I'm not saying he's not top 10, but when you've got guys like DeGrom in here, I could see Cole slipping behind it. But for now, I rank Cole number one. I have DeGrom second. Then Greinke, Bauer, Michaelis.
Let's put Bauer ahead of Greinke. What do you think?
I'm just not ready to do it.
Greinke is giving up.
I kind of understand why. Part of it's just because Bauer for so long was so mediocre.
Yeah, I get it.
And he's having a great year. He's been one of the best strikeout pitchers of baseball this year. I'm just hesitant to put that ace label on him, which, I mean, if I'm moving up to Greinke range, that's what I'm doing.
I just love the Royals, Tigers, and White Sox that he's going to face going forward. And Greinke, Greinke's got a .390 ERA, but he's got a .117 whip, 19 walks, 95 strikeouts, and 90 innings. he is another guy who right now is a home run victim, and they almost all come on the road. And yesterday he was cruising along and he gave up back-to-back shots to Upton and Pujols. And he ended up giving up 3 runs and 6 1/3. Greinke has given up 16 home runs, and I think 12 of them have come on the road. He has a 5.66 road ERA. He's got a 2.40 home ERA, even though his last home start was bad. It's really not a knock on Greinke, but he is giving up a lot of home runs. Is that 2 out of 3 years now that he's got a home run issue, Zach Greinke? 2016 as well? Trying to recall.
I mean, he obviously didn't have a good year in 2016, so it wouldn't surprise me if that was part of it. Now, the home environment was much worse than it is post-Humidor here.
Yeah, even last year he gave up 25 home runs and 202 1/3. The year before that he gave up 23 homers and 158 and 2/3, so I would say that was an issue there. All right, so fringy starting pitchers. I'm putting Sonny Gray here, even though he's 92% owned. He got lucky. I mean, look, 16 swinging strikes or 14 on Baseball Reference, 16 on ESPN. That's a season high or close to it. I think first start of the year may have had that many. Got bailed out by Jonathan Holder because he left two on with nobody out in the sixth inning, and Holder got out of the jam. This was a good, I don't know, man. I don't know. He's got a 2.93 road ERA. I sat Sonny Gray because I'm an idiot, I guess, and I thought he'd struggle in this start. Yeah, I don't know. Where are you on Gray? Actually, let me speed it up. Let me speed it up and ask you this. Gray, Chacin, Caleb Smith, Dylan Covey, Jaime Barria, Trevor Williams, big-time start yesterday, Andrew Suarez. Gray, Chacin, Caleb Smith, Covey, Barria, Williams, Suarez. Who are your three favorites?
My three favorites are Caleb Smith, who still had a ton of swinging strikes yesterday, even though it wasn't a great outing. And then probably Sonny Gray second. I don't love him, but this was probably his most encouraging start of the year, just because he was getting swings and misses again, something he hadn't gotten since his first start.
Right.
And third, it's a distant third, but probably Barria.
Okay.
Not biting much over the rest.
Deep leagues, Pablo Sandoval and Eric Fetty are 8% owned. Sandoval has a 9.35 OPS in June. Fetty's got a high ERA, but he has faced the Yankees twice in three starts. Any interest in Sandoval or Fetty?
No.
Okay. Scott, it's Team Name Tuesday, so I'm going to let you know. So here's a Nickelback team name. Look at this Sotograph! Because it's such a bad song. Here's another Soto name. Soto Amaretto Lime. I think that, I don't know. Okay. Alcohol or song or something. The Buckholz Surfers. That's very good. Buckholz Surfers. And you bets. Ask Chris Towers if you do not know the song, and I don't know the song. I will say this was a truly awful week of Team Name Tuesday. Now let's read some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. 8 emails in 4 minutes, I believe we have here. This is from Jake. Current closers are Parker, Boxberger, and Familia. Are all those guys better than Soria and Felipe Vasquez? Parker, Boxberger, and Familia, are they better than Soria and Felipe Vasquez?
Parker, Boxberger, and Familia are not better than... Not all of them are better than Vasquez. I'd rather have Vasquez than Parker... That's it.
Okay.
I'd go Boxberger, Familia, Vasquez, and then Park. And then Soria.
All right, here's a mean email from Trent in Dallas. Hey, Dumb and Dumber, a.k.a. Heath and Scott. How can I trust your player? Yeah, I know. How can I trust your player rankings when I see that you both have Gattis ranked as the number 9 catcher, currently behind Cervelli? Then he gives the stats over the last 30 days. I agree with you on Sanchez. I would take Sanchez over Gattis for the remainder of the year, but I would also take Gattis over all other catchers, with the exception of maybe Realmuto. After seeing these poor rankings, I chose not to even look at the other positions, as I did not want your poor judgment to rub off on me.
Well, Trent, in Dallas, Georgia, your take is outdated, because as of yesterday, Avan Gattis is my number 5 catcher.
There you go.
And Cervelli's 9th.
There you go.
So I go Sanchez, Posey, Contreras, Realmuto, and Gattis. And like, I understand you want to have Posey and Contreras ahead of Gattis, but track record's coming into play there. And it's like, I'm reluctant to just assume these are Gattis's numbers rest of season. Like, this is the hottest he's been all year by far. He's been ridiculously hot the last couple weeks. Like,
right.
I don't think. I think his numbers are probably skewed a little higher.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. Okay, and another more emails, Scott. We got Paul from Des Moines. Who's a better backup utility option in a roto league, Chris Taylor or Jerickson Profar? Oh, how relevant.
Of Taylor ahead. I don't have any issues with Taylor. He's fine. He hasn't been as good as last year, obviously, but he's certainly been startable. Profar has entered that mix, though.
All right, and here's Tony, 12-team roto. John Hicks or Yadier Molina, rest of season?
I have Hicks one spot behind Molina. It's a close call. If you preferred Hicks, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Molina got off to a really good start, then he went on the DL. And since coming off the DL, he's only got one home run. He's batting
Which
275. Yeah, right. His last two games, he's 4-for-8 with a home run and two doubles. It was very cold before that.
But he's actually raised his batting average since coming off the DL, though.
I honestly think it's thanks to the last two games.
It may be.
Four hits and 8 at bats when you're talking about that small, sample size does help. Last year, Molina was the number 4 catcher in points, number 2 in roto. Listen to his slash line. 273, 312, 439. This year it's 273, 311, 448. It's almost identical. Here's a question from Nick. 12-team head-to-head categories league. Pick 3. Profar, Eaton, Thames, Nimmo, and Scope. Profar, Eaton, Thames, Nimmo, Scope. Pick 3.
I will pick Profar. Wait a second. Why did I do that? I'm not going to pick Profar first. I'm going to pick Eaton.
Yeah.
Then Nimmo. I think I'll still go Scope over Profar, but man, he's had a rough year.
And over Thames?
Yeah, because Thames has the playing time issue.
Okay. Hammy from Atlanta, what do you think about giving up Will Myers for Brandon Crawford?
I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Yep.
Myers obviously has hardly played this year, but he's on a rehab assignment now. And
you get the buzz. Don't do it. From George, what's your ideal roto format in terms of player positions, categories, and teams? Set up a roto league.
I mean, I'm a traditionalist with these things. Like, I feel like that's kind of the appeal of roto because it's not my favorite structure anyway. Because so many teams get left in the dust so early on that it just becomes less interesting. I know, like, Tout Wars has gone to OBP instead of batting average. I get why they do that. But I don't know. I kind of like tradition. I like the traditional 5x5, 23-man lineup. That's if I'm playing roto, that's what I care to play.
All right. Honestly, like, I am fine with all of that, with everything you said, except 23-man lineup. Let's just make it 22. And there is no need for two catchers. Two catchers is the worst thing that has ever happened to fantasy sports.
Here's the thing.
It's the worst, Scott.
I know you've complained about that. Heath's complained about that.
I will continue to.
Like, there's no, I'm in a 24-team roto league that only uses one catcher spot. And all the best players on waivers are catchers. And nobody has any need for them because the catcher spots are all full. Like, nobody's using a catcher in their utility spot. I actually am, as a matter of fact, because some of the catchers out there are so good.
Yeah, I use Evan Gattis in utility for what that's
because it's so uncommon to use catcher at utility, so much less common than any other position, I think you need that second catcher spot to balance things out in terms
of.
No,
I don't think you need it at
all.
There's absolutely.
And, like, it's bad for most everybody. And the only people who it's not bad for obviously strategize to make it not bad, and they sacrifice something else to do that.
Who cares what's on waivers?
More strategy that way.
You know what, Scott? Here's what I'm going to say to you. Two catcher leagues are dumb, and you have just been regulated. Now let's move on. The fantasy regulators are back. Oh, wait, I want to grade one trade for one of our most absolutely loyal listeners. I promised him we'd get to his trade, so we're going to do it real quick here. It's David in New York City. He's got a lot of pitching depth. Give up Max Scherzer and Tim Anderson. Max Scherzer and Tim Anderson. Get Mookie Betts. And he said Marcus Timms, but he meant Eric Thames. They spell their last name similarly. Scherzer and Tim Anderson for Betts and Eric Thames.
I think that's pretty close to an even C.
Okay. Well, now it's time for the regulators. This one is from Mark. I'm the commish of the league, and I own, and the owner of Cody Bellinger texted me informing me that he's just sick of Cody Bellinger. This was 3 weeks ago before his current hot streak. So the owner asked me if he could just drop Cody Bellinger. I had to do it manually because he's listed as undroppable. I told him I could do that if that's what he wanted to do, but then I offered him the opportunity to trade Bellinger to me if he wanted. He told me to make him an offer. I offered him Matt Carpenter. He accepted. A league member thinks I should have made Bellinger go to waivers or informed the entire league that the owner was looking to make a trade so everyone had a chance to bid. I make a lot of trades, so this owner could have just been fishing for an offer, and I think I'm in the right place in the right time. Thoughts? Also, grade the trade, LOL. Gave up Carpenter for Bellinger.
It's a favorable trade for you. I'll give it a B, maybe B plus.
I do think it's a little shady.
I'll give it a B with as hot as Carpenter's been. What did you say?
I think it's a little shady, though. I think it's a little shady.
I don't think it's shady. I mean, there's no precedent for announcing, hey, everybody, I'm about to accept a trade with this guy that seems too favorable.
Yeah,
go ahead
and
bring your other offers
in.
I understand it was kind of weird circumstances because he had go to the commissioner to get permission to drop him. So obviously a commissioner had a leg up that way. But it seems like what kind of precedent are you inviting there if you say, all right, everybody get your best offers in for Bellinger.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like he used his commissioner privileges for some unfair access. But okay, so Scott says it's okay. That has been regulated.
I think you're technically right. I just don't know that there's a reasonable solution for it.
I think
asking the rest of the league, hey guys, could you outbid me for Bellinger?
Yeah, all right.
That seems unnecessary.
This is from Kevin Flynn. Dear Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris. The Yankees and Nationals game from May 15th was suspended and completed yesterday. I own Juan Soto and Sean Doolittle, who had a home run and a save. For whatever reason, my league is just completely disregarding their stats for this game. My league members find this hilarious, as I was the only one affected. And it seems especially cruel, as I have finished last in the league since I joined. Please help convince my league commissioner that this is unfair. He said whatever Adam decides will be the final ruling. Ooh, okay.
All right, this is not, first of all.
Are you Adam?
I'm not Adam.
Okay.
Was he addressing you specifically?
He said whatever Adam decides will be the final ruling.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Can I go ahead and comment on this?
Yes, you can, Adam number two.
This is not some CBS decision not to count this. Like, it's not being counted because if you go look at the official game logs for these players, the way MLB keeps the stats, those stats happened on May 15th. I understand they happened yesterday, but technically speaking, for stat-keeping purposes, they happened on May 15th.
Yeah.
So it would be weird to apply it to this week's game.
Okay, by the way, I apologize for Scott's audio.
Like, that was Juan Soto. I think that'll go down in the record books as Juan Soto's first
it will not.
Home run yesterday.
It will not.
I have his game.
No, it's not. It will not, Scott. He did hit it technically earlier than anything, but does not count as his first home run.
If you look at his game log, though, he has a game May 15th where he went 1-for-2 with a homer, and then his next game is May 20th.
I understand. All right, here's my regulation. Are you ready? I say if you play in a season-long roto league and you can make the stats count, make the stats count. If you play in a head-to-head format of any kind, categories or points, the stats do not count. You are screwed. I apologize, Kevin. All right, we're going to go overtime here. We're going to do one more regulation from Corey. Corey says, first, tacos are clearly sandwiches, raisins are gross, and sushi is God's gift to this world. Okay, you are wrong on all three accounts. You've been regulated. Goodbye. No, I'll read your question.
I agree.
You guys are great. Adam, you're a great host. Heath, I love your dry humor. Scott, your insight's phenomenal. Chris, I've never disagreed with someone on so many different things than I do with you, but damn it if I don't enjoy it. All right. My keeper league voted last year to expand our minor league slots from 2 to 4. One of our managers, who's currently in second, had drafted Juan Soto as a prospect. However, he never added him to the NA slot on his roster or even picked him up when he was called up. It seems like he legitimately forgot that he drafted him. One of our other managers picked up Soto the next day after his call-up and has had him since. No one has ever mentioned anything about it being an illegal roster add since we mostly trust each other to add our prospects when they're available and stash them in the NA slot. I was running through our prospects list to update it to show who would still qualify as a prospect, and that's when I came across the error. I notified the commish, we're getting ready to present this issue to the rest of the league. What are your thoughts on how this should be handled? Should the original owner who drafted Soto in our prospect draft retain ownership, or should the owner who picked up Soto and has had him since then get to keep him?
Oh, that's sticky. Because I assume the guy who's picked him up since then has been using him, and results have been generated from him. I don't know how you get back. Like, if it just happened, like last week, that'd be one thing, but we're several weeks into Soto being a worthwhile fantasy contributor here. I think the guy who wasn't the guy who dropped the ball is out of luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. That's really a shame. You kind of deserve him. But I kind of agree with Scott, and I would have to say, no, I don't think I agree with Scott. I think I'd give him back to the owner who drafted him if it was just an honest mistake. Well, damn it! Sorry.
Well,
I'm doing
what
a,
do you? But what do you do?
Sorry, I'm doing a football draft, and the guy I wanted just went one pick before me. That's the reason for my damn it there. Oh, I'm so mad. Okay. All right, you know what, Scott? We got to end it. Scott and I disagree. I would say let the guy who picked up Soto have the results of what Soto's done, and then give him back to the owner who originally drafted him. That's what I would say. Do what you want, and you've officially been regulated. And Scott and I are out of here. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll come back tomorrow with another edition of Fantasy Baseball Today.